Revelation 19, verse 1. And after all these things, I heard a great voice of many people in heaven, saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory, honor and power unto the Lord our God.
Alleluia, salvation and glory, honor and power unto the Lord our God. For the Lord our God is mighty. Yes, the Lord our God is omnipotent. The Lord our God, He is wonderful. Alleluia, salvation and glory, honor and power unto the Lord our God. For the Lord our God is mighty. Yes, the Lord our God is omnipotent. The Lord our God, He is wonderful. Alleluia, salvation and glory, honor and power unto the Lord our God. For the Lord our God is mighty. Yes, the Lord our God is omnipotent. The Lord our God, He is wonderful. All praises be to the King of Kings and the Lord our God. He is wonderful. All praises be to the King of Kings and the
I'll tribune out the solar. When I get to heaven's gates, I ain't gotta peek over. Keeping perfect composure. When I scream at the chauffeur, I am mean, I'm just focused. No, I am mean, I'm just focused. Pour the lean out slower. God is clean out of soda. Before the flood, people judged. They did the same thing to Noah. Everyone wanted Yandi. Then Jesus Christ did the laundry. They say the week start on Monday, but the strong start on Sunday. Won't be in bondage to any man. John 8:33, we the descendants of Abraham, yea, should be made free. John 8:36, to whom the Son sets free is free indeed. He saved the wretch like me.
Let me together with our Savior Jesus. Hand in hand, He and I. Let's cherish every moment Jesus gives to us. The time is passing by. I often pray when I kneel down by my bedside. I ask the Lord to help me to obey His calling. If I could just please the Lord, I must cherish the love of God. I must cherish the grace of God. Cherish His mercies. Cherish His blood. Cherish the cross of Christ. I must cherish the chance I have. I must cherish the call of God. Cherish the time that I have to work. Cherish these times of grace. The world is lost and dying, 'cause no one seeks for God. Oh no, but Jesus died to save the world. And so many live in darkness, they've never heard of Jesus. Can I help to tell them? I often pray when I kneel down by my bedside, the Lord to help me to obey His calling. If I could just please the Lord, I must cherish the love of God, and I must cherish the grace of God. Cherish His mercies, cherish His blood, cross of Christ. I must cherish the chance I have. I must cherish the call of God. Cherish the time that I have to work. Cherish these times of grace. God, oh yes, hand in hand, you and the Lord. And don't think that you can walk away from your original calling. No, 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 your time is passing by. So when you pray and when you kneel down by your bedside, just ask the Lord to help you to obey His calling. If you could just please the Lord, you must cherish the love of God. You must cherish the grace of God. Cherish His mercies. Cherish His blood. Cherish the cross of Christ. You must cherish the chance you have right now. You must cherish the call of God. Cherish the time that you have to work. Cherish these times of His grace. Ooh, ooh.
Jesus, you're the center of my joy. All that's good and perfect comes from of my contentment, hope for all I do. Jesus, you're the center of my joy.
Jesus, you're the center of my joy.
My direction, you're the compass for my way. You're the fire and light when nights are long and cold. Oh, in sadness, you are the laughter that shatters all
of my joy. I love the many things that are within the world. All that's in the world, my brother. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, they are not of mine. Do not love the world, my brother. And do not love the many things that are within this world. All that's in this world, my brother. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, they are not of mine. Whosoever is a child of God, is born of God, will overcome. Greater is he that is in you than in the world. You'll overcome. I am living in this world, but I'm not of the world. And so if I am a child of God, I'm born of God, I'll overcome. And so if I am a child of God, I'm born of God, I'll overcome. Don't be friends with the world, my sister. Don't you know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? If anyone loves the world, my sister, we know that the love of the Father is not in him, it's not in him. So if you make the world your friend, then you can never be a friend of God. Don't be friends with the world, my sister. You know that friendship with the world is enmity with God. If anyone loves the world, my sister, we know that the love of the Father is not in him, is not in him. So if you make the world your friend, then you can never be a friend of God. Not of the world. And so if I'll overcome.
We thank God for the opportunity we have on Sundays to get together in His presence, that He may speak to us from His Word. Amen. So we thank Him for another opportunity, and we're going to go into the Word, but let's share a word of prayer. Everybody, please bow your heads with me right there in your home. Stop whatever you're doing and just make the time. Let's give God reverence over the next hour or so, and we'll be through. And I believe that God will speak to us and God will bless us. Amen. So let's pray. You're the heart of my contentment, hope for all I do. Jesus, you're the center of my joy. Jesus, you're the center of my joy. All that's good and perfect comes from you. Heart of my contentment, you're the heart of my contentment, hope for all I do. Oh Jesus, you're the center of my joy. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for another chance to hear the word, to be in your presence. We pray, Lord, that you will open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of your law. Please teach us, Lord, out of your word. We humble ourselves, we submit ourselves, we yield ourselves to the truth of your word, even before we hear it, Lord. And we declare that your word is supreme. Your word is the most important thing in our lives. Your word is the final authority and has the final say in everything. And we choose to live by your word. We choose to submit ourselves to your word. We choose to allow our lives to be governed by your word instead of the philosophies and ideologies of men, in the name of Jesus Christ. Let your word have free course this day. Speak to us, bless us, teach us. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Jesus, you're the center of my joy. Amen. Right. Now, we have been sharing over the last couple of weeks from the book, The Determinants, and we've been sharing from the foundational scripture of Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse number 11, which says that I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. Amen. Now, from this scripture, we have isolated or identified the main determinants
of the course of people's lives and how people end up in life. And we can see that those determinants, according to this verse, are your speed, your strength, your wisdom, your understanding, and your skill. These are the things that determine what happens to people and how well they fare in life. That is, if they are not affected or their lives don't experience the interventions of time and chance, right? Which can then make things go either way, you know. So you can have the speed, but time and chance can change the outcome of that, that it may bring or may not bring you what you're supposed to get from having that speed. Okay, so that's what we are studying, and we are trying to understand the basic determinants. We've talked about speed, and we just finished talking about strength. And today we want to move on to talk just a little bit about wisdom, which is the third one, because it says bread to the wise, right? Which means wisdom is one of the key determinants of bread winning, you know, and being able to do well in the act of winning bread for the family, bread winning for the family and for your life. Wisdom is important for that. Hallelujah. And so we're going to go into the scriptures. I think we can read quite a few verses today. And I like it when I get to read the verses from the Bible, because the Bible, the Word of God, and what it has to say about anything must be chosen and preferred over anything any of us has to say. Okay, so let's go straight into the Word. Number one is that wisdom determines your position and rank in your nation. Wisdom determines your position and rank in your nation. In other words, wisdom is a determinant of rank, you know, position, promotion, elevation. All those are controlled by a person's wisdom. In other words, wisdom can get you promoted. Your wisdom can get you promoted. Now, what is your wisdom? Your wisdom essentially is how you apply the knowledge you have, right? So your wisdom refers to your judgment, that it's not just that you know things, but it is how you engage the things you know to affect your actions, your judgment, your thinking. That's your wisdom, right? And so everybody has wisdom, which is basically what they know and then how they engage it, how they deploy what they know. And that is their wisdom. And it is very difficult to hide your wisdom. When it is there, it is difficult to pretend it is not there. And when it is not there, it is difficult to pretend it is there. You know, you can't easily act beyond your wisdom, you know. And so everybody's life basically reflects your wisdom. We all wear our wisdom around our necks and walk around with it every day. And our lives, or the lives we live, actually betray our wisdom all the time. Do you see? So we can see from the scriptures, these scriptures we're about to read, that wisdom is responsible for promotion and elevation, right? And the example here is Joseph from Genesis chapter 41. Genesis chapter 41. We can see from verse 38, Joseph's wisdom determined who he became in the land of Egypt, right? Joseph was an immigrant in the land of Egypt. He had found himself there as he had been sold actually into slavery, you know, and he had arrived there as a slave, as a second-rate citizen or resident, and he was there. But his wisdom moved him upwards. His wisdom promoted him and lifted him above people who came from Egypt. Do you see? And so it doesn't even matter that you may be an immigrant or you may be of immigrant origins, but if you have wisdom, your wisdom can move you up and guarantee you a seat among those who are important in the land. Hallelujah. So we can see that Joseph became prominent. It says, and Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? Wow. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Not only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. Wow. Now, if you know the background to this verse, Joseph had had a dream. Joseph had, in his dream, predicted, God had showed him some things that were going to happen in the nation of Egypt. And Joseph gave counsel to Pharaoh as to how to manage the crisis that was about to happen, you know. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? You know, it's like this type of person is rare, a man who has the Spirit of God in him. Hallelujah. Well, you have the Spirit of God in you. So Pharaoh is saying that people like you are rare. Said people like you are rare. But look at what the Spirit of God in Joseph did for him. He said that for as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and as wise as thou. Thou shalt be over my house. Thou shalt be over my house. You know, so Joseph was being promoted because of his wisdom. You know, Pharaoh observed that out of all the people around him, there was no one like Joseph. There was no one who thought and judged like Joseph. He could tell from his contributions, perhaps at meetings, he could tell that this man had some depth. This man had some understanding. This man seemed to possess something that all the other people in the meeting didn't have. You know how sometimes you're in a meeting and people make contributions, and there are some contributions that actually strike you. You know, there are some contributions that get your attention. There are some contributions. Sometimes you can't even wait to hear that person's opinion about this subject too. What does he have to say about this? Do you see? I see God making you one of those people as we study wisdom and pray about wisdom. Amen.
Amen.
Make you an exceptional person. And when you give your contributions at meetings, at work, your boss or whoever has the authority to promote you will take notice of you and say to you what Pharaoh said to Joseph. thou shalt be over my house. You will be over my house. That means I'm putting you in charge. It means from today, you are a supervisor, you are a manager, you are the director, you are the head of department. From today, your status in this environment is changing because of your wisdom. Hallelujah. So wisdom is a quarter. It determines your rank. Hallelujah. And that is why you must work on wisdom. You must pray for wisdom. You must work on acquiring and engaging and practicing the use of wisdom so you can be promoted. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 8 is the other verse. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 8. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 8. Hallelujah. Now, if you start reading from verse 5, you will notice that, okay, well, okay, verse 5. Get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Right? Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing. You know, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. He says, wisdom is the principal thing. The main thing is wisdom, is your wisdom. The main thing is wisdom. Wisdom, wisdom. When you're among people, everybody is waiting to hear you speak so they can gauge, measure, assess your wisdom, your level of wisdom. And based on that, you are ranked. I mean, we all do that all the time. You get it? We all do that all the time. We meet people and when they speak, we assign them a rank or a place in our minds. True or false? Yeah. Mm. It happens a lot when we meet people for the first time, you know. And right there, we're able to know who this person is, how seriously we must take them, and whether we should even pay attention to them or not. Do you see? So wisdom is the principal thing. And the Bible says with all your getting, you know, because everybody is engaged in getting something. We are running around every day getting things. We are getting, some are getting jobs, getting new jobs, getting cars, getting exercise, getting beloveds, lovers, you know. Different things we are getting all the time, and we have time for the things we are getting, including entertainment. You know, some people are getting entertainment, some people are getting, you know, amusements and things that make you happy. Well, the Bible says that the principal thing, the principal, when you say something is the principal thing, you mean it's the main thing, it's the key thing. Everything else is built around it. Everything else arises out of it. Everything else takes a branch out of it. Everything else is related to it. And it says it's wisdom that is the principal thing. The principal thing you must have is wisdom. And when you have wisdom, then your life can actually begin. So look at verse 8. Verse 8 says, exalt her and she shall promote thee. Wow. Exalt her, that means make her important. And she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. Now, I know it's saying dust and thou and thee, but I think you understand this verse. Right? I think you understand it. Exalt her, that is wisdom, and wisdom will promote thee. Your wisdom will promote you. I tell you, your wisdom will bring you to honor. Your wisdom will make people honor you. Your wisdom will make people respect you. Your wisdom will make people set your name aside. Your wisdom will make people rise up when you arrive. Your wisdom will guarantee you a seat at the high table. Your wisdom will do that. So the Bible says, exalt her. You get it? You need to exalt her. Make her important. Make her significant, and she will promote you. You know, make her significant, and she will promote you. You need to respect wisdom. You need to honor wisdom. You need to celebrate wisdom. And wisdom will come to you. And as wisdom comes to you, wisdom will promote you. Wisdom will lift you up. Wisdom will take you where your education cannot take you. Wisdom will bring you honor that other things have not brought you. It's so important. So wisdom determines your position and rank. It is a promoter. Hallelujah. Number two, once you are promoted, how do you remain there? Again, wisdom. Wisdom determines your ability to stay in an elevated position. Wisdom determines your ability to stay in an elevated position, right? Of course, if you're only going to go up just to come down, then what is the point? You see, yeah, what is the point? If you're going to go up, then you need to stay up there. Do you see? And what keeps you up there is your wisdom. Through wisdom, you will remain in your exalted position. You will not go up and come down suddenly, right? You will not go up and come down suddenly. Through wisdom, whatever God has given you will be preserved. Through wisdom, whatever God has given you will be preserved. If God gives you a position, it will be preserved. If God gives you money, it will be preserved. If God gives you a marriage, it will be preserved. If God grants you to be a parent, it will be preserved. Whatever God gives to you, wisdom is the way to maintain it, is the way to keep it, is the way to stay where God places you. Your wisdom comes into play. God gives it to you, then your wisdom is what keeps you in that place. Hallelujah. Right? You know, somebody became king, and within a few days, he had lost his position. His name is Rehoboam in the Bible. Rehoboam, R-E-H-O-B-O-A-M. Right? Now, this guy, he got the position, but he lacked the wisdom, you see, and that is a problem. You can come into a position, you can come into a place, sometimes through whom you know and through some connections you have, you can find yourself in a place. But once you are there, you need wisdom to maintain that position, to stay in that same place. Your wisdom is what you need to sustain you in the places where God places you. So sometimes it's inheritance, do you see? Your wisdom needs to move in to preserve your inheritance. People inherit things. Things are given to people by others who have used wisdom both to acquire and maintain them. You know, and so your wisdom, your inheritance, or you receive an inheritance, can be money, can be property, can be anything. You know, it's just handed to you and suddenly you are it. And in the case of Rehoboam, you know, he was the king's son. And so when the king died, he just naturally inherited the role. Do you see? And he inherited the position, but he didn't have the wisdom. He didn't have the wisdom. And when you read the story, it's so sad because in just a short time, you find him not being able to keep the position, and he loses it completely, right? And but David, on the other hand, was not like that, right? King David, he's the one we have here, 1 Samuel chapter 18. 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 14, the Bible says, and David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him, right? David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him, right? David behaved himself wisely, and the Lord was with him. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. Amen. So you can see that David's behavior got Saul's attention. You see, David's behavior got Saul's attention, and Saul was secretly afraid of David. And yet David had been employed by Saul. He was working for him, and his employer was actually afraid of him, and it was because of his wise behavior. Hallelujah. Because of his wise behavior, the way he conducted himself. Okay, so when God elevates you, when God promotes you, you are going to need wisdom to keep that promotion, to be who God has ordained you to be, and to do the things that God has granted you the opportunity to do. You're going to need wisdom. You're going to need wisdom. Hallelujah. Right? Let's read 1 Kings chapter 11 for a moment, and let's look at that story of Rehoboam. Okay, so 1 Kings chapter 11 and verse 43, right, is where the Bible says Solomon, 42 says, all the time that Solomon reigned in Jerusalem over all Israel was 40 years. So he was king for 40 years, you know. And then Solomon slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David, his father. And Rehoboam, his son, reigned in his stead. Do you see? Now, remember, Solomon is reputed for having wisdom. We all know Solomon to be, the wisest king or the wisest person, indeed, who ever lived. You know, Solomon had more wisdom. God told him, I'll give you wisdom. There won't be anybody before you or after you, right? That's how we know that Solomon was the wisest person, okay? Now, after him, you know, obviously his wisdom was very relevant to keeping him in his position for 40 years. 40 years he reigned and he was in charge. Then, after his death, his son Rehoboam reigns in his stead. Do you see? So by virtue of his position as a son, he inherits the role. Then chapter 12 and verse 1, Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel were come to Shechem to make him king, right? They were having a kind of, you know, January 20th type of situation where the president was going to be inaugurated. You see, and it came to pass when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, it says, when that's verse 2, verse 3, that they sent and called him, and Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came and spake to Rehoboam, saying, thy father made our yoke grievous. Now, therefore, make thou the grievous service of thy father and his heavy yoke, which he put upon us, lighter. and we will serve thee. And he said unto them, depart yet for 3 days, and then come again to me. And the people departed. And King Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, and said, how do ye advise that I may answer this people? And they spake unto him, saying, if thou would be a servant unto this people this day, and will serve him and answer them, and speak good words to them, they will be thy servants forever. Verse 8 says, but he forsook the counsel of the old men which they had given him, and consulted with young men that were grown up with him, you see, and which stood before him. And he said unto them, what counsel give ye that we may answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, make the yoke which thy father did put upon us lighter? And the young men that were grown up with him spake unto him, saying, thus shalt thou speak unto this people that speak unto thee, saying, thy father made our yoke heavy, but thou make thou it lighter unto us. Thus shalt thou say unto them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. And now, whereas my father did lead you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father has chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day, as the king had appointed, saying, come to me again the third day. And the king answered the people roughly. He answered them roughly and forsook the old men's counsel that they gave him, and spake to them after the counsel of the young men, saying, my father made your yoke heavy, and I will add to your yoke. My father also chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. Wherefore the king hearkened not unto the people, for the cause was from the Lord, that he might perform his saying which the Lord spake by Ahijah the Shilonite unto Jeroboam the son of Nebat. And when all Israel saw that the king hearkened not unto them, the people said unto the king, saying, what portion have we in David? Neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel. Now see to thine own house, David. So Israel departed unto their tents, right? So that's how the kingdom was divided. The kingdom was divided. The part that's called Israel is the 10 tribes from the north, and they went and they were now under this Jeroboam, the leader of the delegation that came to see Rehoboam, right? But we can just see how something that Solomon had kept together for 40 years, his son couldn't keep it together for just a few days or for more than a few days. Do you see? And we, even as we read his language and read his talk, it's even upsetting us who live here today. You see, we are frustrated by the things this guy is saying. This is not how to talk. You know, this is not how to deal with people. This is not how to relate with people. So you can see right there that he has the position, but he lacks the wisdom that keeps you in that position. Do you see? You must not have a position without wisdom. You need wisdom to stay in that position, whatever the position is. Whatever the position is. Anytime you become something that you were not before, you need wisdom to maintain it. You know, when you become a mother, you need wisdom to remain a mother. If you don't become, or if you don't apply wisdom, you will soon not be a mother anymore. You know, you'll be an ex-mother, but not a mother actively. You need wisdom. You need wisdom to be a husband. You need wisdom to remain a wife. You know, otherwise you just go back to your, you know, young girl or whatever the status is called. Do you see? You need wisdom to stay employed. You need wisdom to remain the manager. You know, if you are a manager and you talk to people like this, like the way this guy came to say, look, the work is a little hard and our things are difficult, so you need to change something about it. And somebody gave him the advice. Experienced people who had been working with his father gave him the advice that, look, you need to listen to these guys. You need to go slow with them. You need to start at least on a softer note, you know, and then build up. But you can't just start harshly. But the Bible says he forsook the wisdom of the older guys who had been there, you know, and then he went for the wisdom of the young people, you know, and you can just see the way the Bible keeps saying the young men that were grown up with him. That means his contemporaries. Now, if they grew up with him, then it is likely that their wisdom was not much higher than his. Do you see? Their wisdom wouldn't be much higher than his, because they're contemporaries. They're like classmates. Do you see? And so they would generally have wisdom belonging to just about the same range, you know, and somehow he could relate with that more. And he took their counsel and eventually scattered the kingdom and destroyed what had been given to him, right? So to keep your position, you need wisdom. And one of the things to do is to listen to experienced people, to talk to experienced people, to respect the opinion of people who have been there, who have walked that road, who seem to know a little bit about something that you are just new to. And I believe that will be a blessing for you. Can I have an amen, please?
Amen.
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 Right. Now, next one, number three, is that wisdom determines your place in ministry. Wisdom determines your place in ministry. So wisdom is important also for doing ministry, right? Wisdom determines your place in ministry. Paul's wisdom determined his place in ministry. Your wisdom will determine how far you go in ministry. It is only through wisdom that you can build a ministry that will outlast you. It's only through wisdom that you can build a ministry that will outlast you. Then 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, right? It says, "And account that the suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you." Even as our brother Paul, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, right? Now, we are all beneficiaries of Apostle Paul's ministry, right? We are all people who have benefited greatly and continue to benefit from Apostle Paul's ministry. We read his books and his letters that he wrote to the churches. They provide so much guidance for modern day Christianity. And you see that our lives are really affected by Apostle Paul. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9, the Bible refers to him, that's verse 10 actually, verse 10. But it's okay. Let's read from verse 9. It says, we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. You are God's husbandry, like God's garden. And then you are God's building. Okay. Then the next verse says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon, right? So Apostle Paul is showing us that the ministry work that he did with wisdom. His building of the church is according to the wisdom that was given unto him. Wisdom that is given unto him is what he has used to remain an apostle, to do the work of an apostle, to secure his place as an apostle was due to wisdom. It was due to the use of wisdom. Now, he's not just doing what he's doing, but he's doing it with a lot of wisdom. Hallelujah. So when we're building the church, we use a lot of wisdom. We need to use wisdom to build the church of God. We need to use wisdom to build churches. Wisdom in appointing people to roles, wisdom in organizing programs, wisdom in determining who should do what. All of that needs wisdom. And without wisdom, none of those things would work properly. Hallelujah. The next one, wisdom determines your ability to work in important places. Wisdom determines your ability to work in important places. Wisdom determines your ability to work in important places. Hallelujah. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 19. Daniel chapter 1. I hope you're noting all these verses. So many beautiful verses as have been put together beautifully for us. Daniel chapter 1, verse 19, it says, the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Okay, now, maybe we can start reading from verse 17. Let's go back a little bit to verse 17. The Bible says, as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Okay. So in verse 18, it says, now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, verse 18, right? Then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. Then comes verse 19. And the king communed with them. And among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. You know, I just remembered somebody called Azariah. Right. All right. So Mishael and Azariah, and therefore stood they before the king. It says there was no one compared to them. So they got the job. They stood before the king. They got to work in the king's palace. Right. And it says in verse 20, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued unto the first year of King Cyrus, right? That means Daniel continued unto the next regime, right? So you can see the point is what? That your wisdom determines your ability to work in important places. Now, these guys got the job in a very important place. They got a very high level position, you know, high level roles because of their wisdom, you know, because God gave them wisdom that made them 10 times better in all matters of wisdom. Their judgment was 10 times better. Their opinions were 10 times better. Anytime the king wanted somebody's opinion on something, the king wanted to discuss something, or they wanted, you know, a solution to something, it seemed like their solutions were divine. They came from God. Of course, the king, they didn't know the source. He just knew that these people were better, but he didn't know that it was because God had given them wisdom. Look at verse 17 again. Verse 17, it says, As for these four children, God gave them knowledge. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. So God gives wisdom. God gives wisdom. God gives wisdom. He gave these four children, you know, all, bring it back, please, the verse. Bring back the verse, please. It says, God gave these four children, you know, he gave them knowledge and he gave them skill in all learning and wisdom. And then as a bonus for Daniel, he gave him understanding in visions and dreams. So Daniel, among the four, you know, had the extra ability to interpret visions and to explain dreams. That was Daniel. But it came from God. It came from God. So perhaps if we reach out to God, if we will make the time to wait on God and to pray to God and to make praying for wisdom a regular part of our prayer. Do you see? Most of us often don't think we need wisdom as much as we do. We simply launch out into things and we assume that we will fare well, we will do well, we can handle it because we've seen others handle it. We've seen others go through it. We've seen others do it. You know, it's not a big deal. We'll do well with it. And then we're going and we're disappointed. Daniel and his friends, they looked up to God and God gave them wisdom. And their wisdom made them 10 times better than everyone else who had the same job. I see you becoming 10 times better as you seek the wisdom of God. God will elevate you and make you have wisdom, possess wisdom and understanding that will put you beyond your peers, beyond your colleagues, beyond other people of similar qualification as you. God will make you 10 times better in your wisdom in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We must believe God for it. We must understand that there is such a thing as the wisdom that God gives. God gave it to these guys, and God will give it to you too if you look up to him for it. Hallelujah. Let's believe God for wisdom. Let's respect wisdom. Let's go after wisdom. Let's exalt wisdom. Let's search for wisdom with all our hearts. And as we do so, we will be found. Wisdom will be found by us. Wisdom will be found by us. We will become wise. God will give us what he gave to these guys, and wisdom will bring all the benefits that come with wisdom. Then finally, for today, wisdom determines the great things and mighty works that you can accomplish. Wisdom determines the great things and mighty works that you can accomplish. Wisdom is the source of mighty works. Wisdom was the mysterious key that God used to create the world. His works are works of wisdom. Nature is a work of wisdom. Nature is a work of wisdom. The planets, the moon, and the stars are works of wisdom. The rivers, the lakes, the waterfalls, the clouds, the rainfall, these are all works of wisdom, right? The plains, the deserts, the swamps, the forests, the mountains, and the hills, they are all amazing works of wisdom. How manifold are thy works? This means how plentiful are God's works. Indeed, he made them all through wisdom. That's from Psalm 104 and verse 24. Psalm 104 and verse 24. It says, O Lord, how manifold are thy works. In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches, right? In wisdom hast thou made them all. All the things that God created, he created them in wisdom. In wisdom. If you take a little time to look at nature a little bit, look at the earth that we live in, and look at the things that we have to deal with. Look at the trees, look at the rivers, look at the lakes, you know, look at the ocean. There's a lot of wisdom. Wisdom has been deployed to its maximum level, you know, at least where human beings are concerned. And you can see the Bible says he did it in wisdom. Wisdom makes people also creative, you know, and complex things that people create are created out of the wisdom they possess, you know. And God created the heavens. God created the earth. God made the moon, the stars, you know, the sun. Everything that the earth contains reflects God's wisdom. We cannot take it for granted at all. It reflects God's wisdom. The Bible says his greatness is unsearchable. You know, it's taken humanity all of its existence, you know, to discover the things we know about the earth as we know them today. And still we are discovering things. Every day there's some new discovery. We're still trying to understand the depth of God's wisdom. It's such a blessing to study and to look at God's wisdom. God is great. We serve a mighty, great, all-wise God. And we must trust him. Trust him with our lives. Trust him with our ways. Trust him with our plans. Because God is wiser than all of us. Hallelujah. All our wisdom put together cannot even begin to approach the wisdom of God. Let's trust God. When God says it is this way, let's believe it and go that way. When God says this is not good, let's believe it and back off it. Because God's wisdom is what has created the earth that we live in, the world that we're enjoying. It is God's wisdom that has made it the way it is. Even his color choices, you know, even his color choices. You see that God is just amazing, the things that God has done. The beauty that God has put in the world is just marvelous. Sometimes I imagine, what if the ocean was red? You know, imagine if the ocean was the color of blood. You see, I mean, that wouldn't look too good. It would be too much. You know, But God in his wisdom has made the oceans and has given them the color that he's given to them. Well, that's all time will allow us today, because we have to go over and join the revival service. But we'll continue next week. The book is The Determinants. And if you don't have your copy yet, make sure you go to Amazon, Kindle, and just download it onto your device, and you can read it for yourself and be blessed at your own pace and in your own time. Amen. But right now, let's bow our heads for prayer. Let's pray and bring the service to a close. Everybody just bow your head and pray. I want you to ask God for wisdom. The Bible says he gave wisdom to these boys. These boys, it says, as for these boys, God gave them wisdom. If God gave them wisdom, then God can give you wisdom too. So let's pray that God will give you wisdom. Ask God for wisdom and say, Lord, I see that if my wisdom goes up, my life will go up. My wisdom can change my life. And so, Lord, I ask you to be merciful unto me and to grant me wisdom. Everybody just pray right now and ask God for wisdom in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we pray for wisdom. If you apply wisdom to any aspect of your life, that part of your life will begin to rise. It will begin to go up. It will begin to flourish. It will begin to do well. Yes. Wisdom to parenting. Wisdom to your marriage. Wisdom at work. Wisdom as a student. Wisdom for studying. Wisdom for knowing how to study. If you apply wisdom, if you come by wisdom, it will promote you. The Bible says, exalt wisdom and it will promote you. And it will bring you to honor. So pray and ask God to fill your life with his wisdom in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your wisdom. Thank you for the opportunity to even talk about wisdom and to study wisdom, the wisdom of God, the mighty force by which you created the heavens and the earth. We pray, Lord, for wisdom today. Fill our hearts and our minds with your wisdom. Not wisdom as the world gives, but wisdom as you give, in the name of Jesus Christ. May the wisdom of God fill our lives and fill our minds and hearts in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we service, I want to give you an opportunity, if you are with us in this service, whether on Facebook or right here on Zoom, you're with us in the service and you know in your heart that you are not saved, you have not asked Jesus to come into your heart and be Lord over your life, this is your opportunity to do so. So let's pray right now together this prayer. Just say this prayer after me, and everyone can join in as we say this prayer together. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I know I'm a sinner.
I know I'm a sinner.
And you died for my sins.
And you died for my sins.
Only your blood can wash away my sin.
Only your blood can wash away my sins.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus cleanses people from their sin.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus cleanses people away from their sins.
So Lord.
So Lord.
Have mercy on me.
Have mercy on me.
Let your blood wash me.
Let your blood wash me.
Let your blood cleanse me.
Let your blood cleanse me.
And make me a child of God.
And make me a child of God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
For hearing my prayer.
For hearing my prayer.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God bless you. Now we want to come to the Lord's table and have communion. We want to have communion with our pastor, the prophet. We want to go over to the First Love Center and join him as he leads the church in communion and prayer this morning. Right. So let's go over to the First Love Center now and have communion.
Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Drink, this is my blood, which was shed for you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. The cup of blessing which we bless, it's the communion of the blood of Christ. The bread which we break, it's the communion of the body of Christ. Oh, this is the holy meal, the meal of God. It will sustain you, it will make you whole, it will give you life when I see the blood. Oh, yeah, I will pass over you.
Take your communion.
God called prophet Elijah, sent
the holy bread.
On a long journey for 40 days and 40 nights. Elijah needed supernatural strength. Oh, prophet Elijah, take this meal and eat. It will sustain you for 40 days and for 40 nights.
Father, we come before your holy bread, Jesus. Let this body of Christ be a great miracle in our bodies today. Whatever is developing in your body as a disease, whatever is developing, as you receive this body, it recedes and returns to normal. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Father, thank you for the body of Jesus Christ. The body of Jesus Christ. What peace you shall have today as you receive the blood. The blood contains the mercies of God, forgivenesses, and his graciousness. May he be gracious unto you. May his name appear unto you. His name El Shaddai. His name Jehovah Rophe, the healer. His name Jehovah Jireh, the provider. His name Jehovah Nisi, the one who gives you victory. May his name appear to you. May your mistakes be overlooked, forgotten, set aside, thrown into the sea of forgetfulness. Through the blood, you obtain access, divine access. Receive divine access, divine grace, and divine opportunities. The blood of Jesus. Now let me pray with you. Lift your hands. The week that is coming is a defining week. May your life be defined and redefined in a good way. May you not have disappointments, failures, and shame. May you be saved and delivered from shortfalls and shortages. May you come practically to know Jehovah as a God of graciousness, forgiveness, and mercy. Live on in his house, seeing the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Whatever represents an impossibility, I see your foot being lifted up and placed upon a rock. Below the rock is water and mud, but your feet have been placed upon a rock to stay. You shall not fall into the water, and you shall not be carried away by the waters. For the Lord establishes you and stabilizes you upon the rock. The rock is Jesus. The rock is his goodness. And the rock is his mercies. The Lord bless you. And the Lord make his face shine on you. May the Lord smile upon you. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. May he be mighty in your life. He will joy over thee with singing. He will rest in his love. He will rejoice over thee with joy. May the presence of the Lord be with you. The Lord keep you and help you. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, the obedient Son, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Savior of the world. Be a champion. Be victorious. Be successful. Overcome the enemy. Overcome evil with good. In the name of Jesus. I bless you. I bless my sons. And I bless my daughters. I bless all my children whom the Lord gave to me. Adarama subarakata. For they are mine. Aramazulabadaka shamolanda. And I take possession. And I declare my blessing and covering over them all. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your divine recovery in Jesus' name. Be blessed. Be blessed. For the third time, be blessed. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. What a blessing.
Amen.
This is a defining week. I received that prophecy, and may you receive it also in Jesus' name. Amen.